Every 6 years or so, depending upon when the leap year falls, those churches who practice a more traditional approach to the holidays face a serious challenge. What do we do when the 24th of December lands on a Sunday? Is that Sunday the fourth Sunday of Advent? Or is it Christmas Eve? Or is it both? It's confusing, and it has the potential to send us into something of a dither. You would think that after 2,000 years of celebrating the birth of a child who is at the same time both God and human, we'd be well prepared for a day that is Advent and Christmas Eve at the same time. But we're not. I guarantee in churches all over the world today, there are discussions about whether or not to forget the observation of the fourth Sunday of Advent and get straight away into Christmas. I know that some churches will have fewer Christmas Eve services tonight because a lot of folks figure that if they attend worship in the morning, they're off the hook for worship in the evening. Not, of course, anyone here. You wouldn't think such thoughts, but other people, you know how other people can be. In fact, truth be told, there are some people in churches who don't really get Advent in the first place, who want to start singing Christmas carols in church as soon as the Thanksgiving dishes are washed and dried and put back in their special cabinet. Again, this is other people, not you. In my first church, for example, where I served a church down in Gonzales in the Salinas Valley, and there was a lovely lady in that church named Verena, and Verena was in charge of the flowers on most Sundays. And she and I never really saw eye to eye on the whole Advent thing. I mean, lighting candles on the wreath was something Verena and I could both agree upon and celebrate and support. But I was of the opinion that during Advent, the church was supposed to be decorated in purple. That's traditional, after all. And Verena wanted to know whose tradition we were talking about. Because as far as Verena could tell, and she wasn't wrong about this, by the way, our purple paraments clashed with the red and green poinsettias. Verena was pretty sure, and again, I think Verena had a point here. Verena was pretty sure that poinsettias were at least as traditional as purple banners, at least in Protestant churches. So every year, about halfway through Advent, when the poinsettias arrived, Verena took down all of my purple and she put up the red, daring me each year to try to tell her that the church was all dressed up for Pentecost. So, why should we, on the same day, observe Advent in the morning and Christmas Eve at night? In fact, why do Advent in the first place? For more than a month now, the Christmas season has been in full swing everywhere except in some churches. In these churches, we don't start singing Christmas carols, at least not really in worship. We don't start singing Christmas carols until everyone has had enough of them already for the year. So why do we do it? That's an open question. But let me tell you why I like Advent. I believe the life of the church should reflect the human condition. In fact, I believe no religion has value unless it is based in a spirituality rooted in experience. Advent is a time of hoping and of waiting, and humans spend a lot of time hoping and waiting. In fact, in Spanish, there is only one word for wait and hope. It's the word esperanza, and it's a word I've always liked for its optimistic realism. During Advent, the church practices religion that reflects a spirituality of esperanza, of waiting and of hoping. To wait and to hope is part of what humans do, which is why the Advent words of the prophet, words of esperanza, resonate with so many people. Consider, for example, the words which were just read, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain hill be made low, and the crooked will be made straight, and the rough places will be made plain, and God will feed God's flock like a shepherd. Someday we will be lifted up out of our sorrow, out of our pain, and God will make a way for us, giving us sustenance and leading us into joy. Maybe not now, but someday. Maybe even soon. We wait. We hope. Esperamos. These are good Advent words for us because the prophet's words reflect the human esperanza, our waiting and our hope. These are words of Advent. This, by the way, is why I like the original lyrics to the Christmas standard, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You probably know the popular version of that song, whose lyrics are, Have yourself a merry little Christmas, let your heart be gay. From now on our troubles will be far away. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, make the Yuletide bright. From now on our troubles will be out of sight. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore, faithful friends who are dear to us gather near to us once more. From now on we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. That's the version that Frank Sinatra made popular. But it's not how the song first was sung by Judy Garland in the film Meet Me in St. Louis. In that film, the story goes that a family has just learned the difficult news that they will be moving to New York for a year, right when they've just started falling in love with people. And they're going to leave behind a community that they love, and everyone's really upset about this move to New York. And so the original song goes like this. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be gay. In a year, our troubles will be far away. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide bright. In a year, our troubles will be out of sight. And I've lost my page. Oh my gosh. Then again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore, faithful friends who are dear to us will be near to us once more. In a year, we all will be together if the fates allow. Until then, we'll just have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. That is an Advent song. That is a song of esperanza, of hopeful waiting that does not pretend the difficulties of life do not exist. In fact, I suspect that for those experiencing a difficult Christmas, the original version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas may be the most realistic of holiday classics. And I don't know about you, but 2017 has given me a lot of reasons to wait hopefully for better times. I need Advent this year. I'll muddle through somehow, but living once again under the threat of nuclear war, while the federal government seems hell-bent on taking nourishment and medical care from children and stripping Muslims of civil rights and building walls and deporting immigrants who came to our shores before the age of consent, all this has made me long for a day when every valley shall be exalted and every hill made low and in the crooked strait and the rough places plain. I wait for the day. I hope for the day. Espero para el día when God will feed me like a shepherd. After a year of living in Trump's America, I need Advent more than ever. But I also want to say that the esperanza of Advent, the waiting and the hope, are not just something that happens to us when our mood reflects the lack of daylight this time of year, or when the politics of our land are as cold as the winter in northern Wisconsin. I actually think hopeful waiting is something any self-reflective person does when life is bad and when life is good. A few weeks ago, I purchased an early 20th century edition of a collection of Robert Louis Stevenson's essays, and in that book, I found an essay in which Stevenson remembers spending the summer on a little island that sits about a mile or so across the water from the Isle of Iona in Scotland. So here's a 100-year-old book in which my favorite Scottish author is writing within close proximity to my favorite Scottish island. What is there not to like? Christmas came early. In the essay, Stevenson is remembering the summer of 1870 when he was 19 years old, a young man of great privilege. It also was the summer during which the Franco-Prussian War was tearing parts of Europe asunder. And here is how Stevenson expresses his esperanza, his hope, and his waiting from a place of comfort, yet not entirely freed from the worries of war. Stevenson writes, "In that year, cannon were roaring for days together on French battlefields. And I would sit in my aisle, I call it mine after the use of lovers, and think upon the war and the loudness of these faraway battles and the pain of men's wounds and the weariness of their marching. And I would think, too, of that other war, which is as old as mankind and is indeed the life of man, the unsparing war, the grinding slavery of competition, the toil of 70 years, dear bought bread, precarious honor, the perils and pitfalls, the poor rewards. It was a long look forward. The future summoned me as with trumpet calls. It warned me back as with a voice of weeping and beseeching. And I thrilled and trembled on the brink of life, like a childish bather on the beach." And I don't know about you, but I remember such esperanza at the age of 19. In fact, I still have a lot of it 30 years hence. And that feels healthy to me. I would say that if your life does not involve a good measure of esperanza, waiting and hope, in good times and in bad, then my guess is you probably need to spend a little more time in self-reflection, because all of us have longings. We long for love, we long for community, we long for better days, days of peace and of comfort for ourselves and for all of God's children. Advent may be the most human of all seasons, because Advent helps us remember to wait and to hope. All of us wait. All of us long for a better tomorrow. And because today is both Advent and Christmas Eve, that better tomorrow comes tonight, at least metaphorically. For tonight, we remember the birth of Christ, and we affirm the promise that all of our waiting and all of our hope will find its fulfillment in God who is with us. For we know that in the fullness of time, light will shine in the darkness. Love will triumph over hatred and apathy. God will confound the machinations of those evil and violent tyrants who would divide us, pitting citizen against immigrant, Christian against Muslim and Jew, white against black, privilege against poverty, all the while siphoning resources from those in need in order to line the already stuffed pockets of the wealthy and powerful. Because the birth of Christ is near, we wait, we hope, esperamos. When we remember Christ's birth, we claim the hopeful words of the prophets, knowing they will find their fulfillment eventually. But until then, we'll just have to muddle through somehow and have ourselves a merry little Christmas now. Amen.